The Word of God is the seed containing the very life of God. It is His agent of transformation. As you receive these words in your heart with faith, that life is released into your spirit, and your life receives a supernatural lifting. Join Apostle Joshua Selman as he brings you God's Word with simplicity and power.
Your kingdom come, O God. Let your will prevail. Let it be done in our hearts. Lift your hands all over this building, inside and outside. Just bless Him in tongues, bless Him in the spirit. Oh, si baba kata bala barado sobala na makaria na bala na bau. To the one who is able to change anyone, the only wise God, the fountain of wisdom. Si lebambria shabala na baria takambria de bala na ba. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not His benefits. We give you all the praise as a house of faith. We give you all the praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Before we start tonight, I just want you to begin to count your blessings and say, Lord, I count you faithful. I count you faithful. If you don't have anything to thank God for, you can pray in tongues. But I know that God has been faithful. Lift your voice and tell Him thank you. Don't be ungrateful. For the life, the psalmist said, if the Lord had not been on my side, now may Israel say. Lift your voice and give Him all the praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, the doer of miracles in our midst, the mighty God, the one who is doing wonders, glorious in holiness, fearful in the praises of men, doing wonders. Oh, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. You have not left us without a witness. We give you all the glory. Yes, Lord, we give you praise.
I worship you, great I am. You are mighty. I worship you, Prince of Peace.
You're the strong and blessed one.
You are the strong and blessed one.
I worship you, great I am.
I worship you, great I am.
You are mighty in this place.
You are mighty in this. I worship you, Prince of Peace. You are the strong and breasted one. I lift my hands in worship as I sing praises to your
that song, worship him.
Onye, onye, oti onye tikagi, onye. We sing to your name, O God. You've done for me what no one else will do. Ibela, otiro nye tikagi. You've done for me, Lord. Hey, what no one else will do, Lord. Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Great and mighty God, so greatly to be praised, beautiful in all situations. You are the joy of the whole world, and you are the great and mighty God, so greatly to be praised, and beautiful in all situations. Hey, you are the joy of, I say you are the great and to be praised, beautiful in all situations. You are the joy of the whole world. I say you are the great and mighty God. So ready to be praised, beautiful in all situations.
Jesus, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mighty presence in the midst of your people. Lord, we honor you for that which you will do tonight. Let your word flow freely in this place. Let the sick be healed. Let the oppressed be delivered. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God bless you. Please hug and greet one another and then be seated. God bless you. Say hello to everyone. Make sure you are greeting someone. There should be someone at your right and left, or at least one of the sides. So say hello to someone. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Good evening, everybody. We thank the Lord for what he's doing in our midst. We give him all the praise in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, let's get to work. Please bring out your pen, your notepad, whatever you have to write. There is a lot to cover. God is in a hurry to announce you. And so we have to finish the curriculum so fast. Trust me, I'm not motivating you. God is in a hurry to let the world see what he has made out of you. The Bible says that we are objects of praise. When an artist finishes designing a work, he brings it out, and then everybody keeps looking at the work, and it describes the excellence of that artist. Hallelujah. Jesus, we give you praise. How many of us here are very confident about what God is doing in our lives? You are not guessing. You know that you are walking accurately. This is not guess again. This is not trial and error. If I will be great, if God will bless me, or if my father is this. One of the things that I believe we have come to respect in this place are the laws of the kingdom. Everybody say the laws of the kingdom. The laws of the kingdom are a revelation of the love of God to mankind. So that your success in life or your failure becomes absolutely dependent on you and not on God. And if you take responsibility for your life, listen to me, please. If you take responsibility, I assure you, no power in existence. You know, some of them said, if you know where I come from, and all of that. The only way to prevail over the wickedness that exists in this realm is to pay attention to the laws of the kingdom. They were designed to cripple Satan. There are two ways to bind the devil. One is by prayer, another is by knowledge. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Tonight I'll be sharing on something very powerful, building on what I taught last week. If you've not listened to last week's message, please listen again and again. I think I've listened to it about 2 times or so. Extraordinary success. This is very important. This is not, listen, let me clarify something. Hold on. This is not this success thing. You know, there's a way people behave about success. You know that this is foolishness. This is madness going nowhere. Right? Oh, I'll be successful in this and that, things will change, and people jump and gyrate. And at the end of the service, you ask the person, how was the service? Say, what? I cannot even explain. You ask the person now, so what did you learn? And what new decision are you going to make as a result of what you've learned? Say, I don't know, but I just feel it in my body. Something has happened. You will never be successful that way. Christianity is not being fetished. Are you getting my point? God makes you anointed and he builds you with content. There are many people with good experiences. Oh, we fell down, we got up. Wonderful. But if there is no content inside of you, you are going nowhere. Absolutely. So it's not enough to fall down and say, I was shaking. I couldn't describe why my right hand was just moving alone. Wonderful. Unfortunately, it doesn't give you a job. Unfortunately, it doesn't make you great. That is a spiritual experience communicating something. We're not neglecting the operations of the spirit. But you must have content. Tell your neighbor, have content. Praise the Lord. So God is giving us wisdom. God is giving us keys that will distinguish us. Let's go to work tonight. Father, thank you. Tonight's teaching seeks to open us up to the dynamics of greatness. I want to share with us in detail how God announces men and how God makes men great. It's not just you will be great. I want to show you how it happens. Praise the Lord. And I want you to follow me because, you know, I sense in my spirit, I've been saying this thing like the Ark of Noah, that I know that it will happen this year, that a season is coming and it's going to be so fast what the Lord is going to do. Remember the scripture I shared with us that the Lord told me, thou will increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Hallelujah. Thank you for lifting. Thank you for lifting. Thank you for lifting my head. Thank you for lifting.
Thank you for lifting.
Thank you for lifting.
Thank you for lifting.
I thank you for lifting
my head.
Hallelujah. What you will hear tonight will so bless you. No. Don't shout amen. It's something I'm about to start teaching. You know, sometimes these things scatter my head. You know how someone takes all of you who were in the world, who God delivered you and ransomed you from all kinds of nonsense. You know? Praise the Lord. You see a madman on the road alone and he's just singing and bouncing. Even if he's inside a gutter, he's just singing and in his mind, he's in a world all by himself. That's what the word of God does. He said, I found your word and I did eat them. And it was a joy and a rejoicing to my soul. He said, my son, eat thou honey, for it is good for you. Eat thou honey. There is what you can know. You don't need anything to happen physically. Are you getting my point? It's like a farmer who plants, pastor. You don't plant a tree and then you come and you are wondering. You are so anxious. People look at you and you say, will this thing grow? No. The man just goes to start buying bags in preparation because he knows that the ground was commanded to produce. Are you getting my point? So there are things that when you know, you start rejoicing and dancing. Because for it not to manifest is like saying Jesus didn't die on the cross. Is that guaranteed? Hallelujah. Let's get to the word of God. Thank you, Jesus Christ. What is the secret of greatness? What does it even mean to be great? Really? What does it mean to be great? You know, we talk about greatness. What does it mean to be great? Because we have to understand, in the kingdom, what does it mean to be great? Hallelujah. To be great means to have an enlarged sphere of influence. To have an enlarged sphere of influence. He said, thou shalt increase my greatness. An enlarged sphere of influence. To be great means to have increased access. To be great means to have increased access. Access to anything. Resources, people. Please make sure you write. To be great means to have what? Increased sphere of influence. And it also means to have increased access. Access to whatever. Resources, people, opportunities. Hallelujah. And why is greatness important in the kingdom? We must get this. You know, everything we discuss with respect to the kingdom. Why is it necessary? Listen, do not let anybody preach you out of the sincere desire to be great. Because sometimes in a bid to show that we are Christians, we say, Lord, please don't make me great. Let me not fall into sin. Let me not do this. Kingdom advancement is highly dependent on kingdom influence. It takes greatness and influence to enforce the kingdom. You must understand this. No one will truly be able to influence this system and bring in the value system of the kingdom without increase, without influence and greatness. The Bible says, and the boy Jesus, for him to be able to carry out his assignment, he had to grow in wisdom. He had to grow in what? Stature. Not just the word stature there does not mean physical growth. No. The word stature there means influence. A time came in the life of Jesus. They said, all men seek for thee. He was on the mountain and 5,000 men, aside women and children, came. Everybody say influence. It is very important to understand the components that the prophetic agenda of God is dependent upon, so that we will not just be religious. Now, there are people who want to be great just because they have suffered too much. While that is not a wrong reason, it does not qualify to be an ultimate motivation when you come into the kingdom. To say, I've suffered too much, I must be great in life. That's ambitious. It's wonderful. Except for the fact that when you come into the kingdom, you must edit your motive to suit the desire of the king. Hallelujah. So God wants us to be great. Without greatness, listen, without greatness, he told Abraham, he said, I will make your name. I will give you an identity of greatness. And that greatness will call the attention of the kings and the people around, and they will come to see what your God is doing. He said, it shall come to pass in that day that the mountain of the Lord's house, have you read that scripture? The mountain of the Lord's house shall do what? Be exalted above all other mountains, and as a result, men will flow to it. Until the mountain is exalted, men cannot flow to it. Are you getting what I'm saying now? It is easy to listen to a great man than to listen to a man who is struggling with greatness. Is that true? So the Lord wants to increase our greatness in every ramification, financially, spiritually, and otherwise. Oh, I receive what he wants to give. I receive it. No religion would preach me out of this. No piety, no sense of false holiness will push me out of the revelation. It is as a result of my love for the King that I need to gain an influence across the mountains that he has given me the authority to legislate, so that they will hear the word of the Lord. Distant shores and the islands will see your light. Don Moen got it precisely. That's what will happen to you. Distant shores and the islands will see your light as it rises on us. Thank you, Jesus Christ. So what is the secret of greatness? How? I know that we keep, you know, the issue I have with the body of Christ is that we do a lot of preaching, but we do very little of teaching. You know what it means to preach? To preach means to declare. It means to proclaim. It means to bring you into an awareness of a reality. That's what it means to preach. But to teach means to give you understanding of the operation of that thing. Hallelujah. That's the challenge with the body of Christ. We do a lot of preaching. God wants to make you great. How many of you believe you are going to be great? Say me. Say now, lift up your hands. Be great. And the person says, amen. That's preaching. Wonderful preaching. Except for the fact that it does not work like that in the kingdom. That's not how your lecturer taught you. He didn't come to the class and say, how many of you are interested in having a degree? He said, sir, me, oh, me, I've been writing jam. And he said, are you serious? He said, all right, this course is yours. No, you don't behave like that. Hallelujah. You sit down through seasons of dealings that will prune you. You will cry through the rain, but you will remain there for the excellency of something that is greater than your pain. Hallelujah. How come life teaches us an obvious way to be great, but when it comes to the kingdom, we don't pay attention to the teaching of the word? Carry a weak 100 level student, pastor, as weak as whatever, sit that student down for 6 years under a medical curriculum and you produce a doctor bold enough to confront sicknesses and diseases. The same person who will see someone 6 years ago convulse and be confused and not know what to do, 6 years later he's seen someone convulsing, and while everybody is moving, he says, no, I know what to do. Everybody say knowledge. Knowledge keeps you in charge. So what other people are running away from, you stand. You say, I'm not ignorant. I know exactly what to do. The Bible says Jesus himself knew what to do. May you know what to do in this life. It's dangerous not to know what to do. When the devil throws sickness, may you know what to do. When poverty attempts to come, may you know what to do. When death and all these things that kill men, if you don't know what to do, it will kill you. Don't let anybody preach you out of this truth. It's on the strength of what you know that you reign in this life. He said, rule thou in the midst of your enemies. And he made two great lights, one to rule in the day and the other to rule in the night. When you have that light, you will rule both in the day and the night. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Say after me, God wants me to be great for the sake of his kingdom. Say it again, God wants me to be great for the sake of the kingdom, and I choose to cooperate with him. I made some very interesting discoveries. One of my goals in life is not to waste my time on earth. One of my very personal goals in life is that I'm not going to join the crowd of people wasting their time on, this is how they do it, this is how they do it. I choose to be like the Bereans. The Bible says they sat down to find out, how is this thing done? So you don't waste 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 years of your life, then you find out that you've been making a mistake for 60 years and you have to go back and begin to undo your life. Hallelujah. There are people who have time but they do not have the knowledge and the information to make them great. By the time they spend all the time in their dying days, they get the knowledge, but there is no time to put it to work. You have time, and God is granting you knowledge. Take advantage of it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The secret to greatness in the kingdom is encapsulated in one word. And I know you've heard that word, but tonight, just keep away what you've heard and listen, and let's explore the word. The secret of greatness in the kingdom is hidden in one word, and that word is called favor. Write it down. We're going to be exploring something tonight. The secret of greatness in the kingdom is shrouded in one word: favor. Open our eyes tonight in the name of Jesus. Bring the days of struggling to an end in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The secret to greatness in the kingdom is favor. What is favor? Favor means access beyond your efforts. When you gain access beyond your efforts. Many of us have had a lot of messages about favor, but many of them have not been balanced. And so we know so much about favor, but we see very little or none of it in our lives. Hallelujah. The first thing I want you to know about favor is that favor is not a mystery. This is one of the things we have been taught by well-meaning people, that favor in the kingdom, the fact that it is undeserved does not mean it cannot be activated. Thank you, Jesus. Favor means access beyond your efforts. It means divine approval, unmerited access. Favor is unmerited, but it must be activated to work in your life. So many of us have been taught that somehow in the journey of your life, favor just finds its way to your life. You may wait forever and never see that favor. Although it is unmerited, there are laws that activate its coming. It is the operation, the dispensing of favor that you cannot explain. And I will tell you why. But the initiation and the maintenance of that realm of favor is absolutely predictable. Absolutely. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Is someone getting blessed already? The Bible teaches us that there are two levels of favor. Luke chapter 2 verse 52. Please, let's have it. If you can have it in Amplified. If there's no Amplified, no problem. I want to hurry up because I want to dwell on certain things. This is just an introduction. There are two levels of favor, or two dimensions to favor, as revealed in the word of God. Okay, let's just open up so we can hurry up. I don't want us to wait here too long tonight. Okay, please just look up so we'll hurry up. Everyone, let's read. One, two, read. And Jesus increased in wisdom, in broad and full understanding, and in stature and years, and in with and favor with who? And so the Bible shows us that there are two levels of favor. Please get this. There is favor with God. Everybody write. And there is favor with men. And these two levels operate on different sets of laws. It is absolutely possible to have favor with God and not have favor with men. And it is absolutely possible to have favor with men and not have favor with God. Someone getting blessed tonight? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Favor with God and favor with men. Since we have established that the key, the secret to greatness in the kingdom is favor. Everybody say, the secret to my greatness is favor. Say it convincingly. The secret to my greatness is favor. Hallelujah. Oh, how true. How true. You neglect this truth to your own detriment. Let hope rise. Darkness trembles in your holy light. Hope is rising for someone tonight. So let hope rise. Darkness trembles in your holy light. How do you secure favor with God? This is the first part. Let's discuss it very quickly. How do you secure favor with God? We are being very mathematical in our approach this night. So the secret to greatness is favor. We are examining that subject since that is the key that holds our greatness in the kingdom. And we have seen that according to Luke 2:52, there is favor with God and favor with men. So how do we secure favor with God? Number one, you want favor with God, you need three keys. The first key is that you must have the fear of the Lord. Please don't make a mistake about this. You want favor with God. The first requirement. Are you seeing now that favor with God is not free? I get very, very disturbed at the gospel that makes believers irresponsible. Just makes them believe that everything can just happen like that. No, sir. If everything just happens like that, God has to apologize to the little children and the countries that die. Is that true? If it was entirely God that controls the distribution of wealth, then God will have to apologize as to why a terrorist group will be so rich and a ministry will be so broke. Are you getting my point now? The heaven of heavens is the Lord, but the Bible says the earth has he given to the sons of men. The fear of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10. Media, you help us please, we need a lot of speed here. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10. You must possess the fear of the Lord. You want to secure favor with God. Proverbs 9 verse 10. The reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord. Let's just use King James, except where we want to amplify it so that we'll rush. The fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. You want to be wise? You want to walk in wisdom? The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning. It takes wisdom for you to even explore the mysteries of the kingdom. And the Bible says the fear of the Lord is what gives you that access. That's where your journey begins. Everybody say the fear of the Lord. What does it mean to fear God? It doesn't mean to run away from God. To fear God means to have respect. You can replace that word fear with the word reverence and loyalty. It doesn't mean to run away from him. No. The fear of the Lord means to have respect. Hallelujah.
I will reverence you, Lord. I will reverence you, Lord. I will reverence you, Lord. For in your presence there is life everlasting. I will reverence you, Lord.
Listen, Can I tell you something? In the body of Christ, many people believe in Jesus, but very few people have respect for him. It's possible to believe a man and not respect that man. Is that true? You can believe in your boss. There's nothing you can do. Open the door of your office, he's the one sitting there. So you believe he's your boss. But there is this reverence, honor, respect. Let's look at something. The Bible says in Psalm 25 verse 14. He said the secret things of the Lord are not with them that pray in tongues. Not with Christians. Not with those who fall under the anointing. Not with prophets. Not with apostles. The secret things of the Lord are not even with them who have faith. The secret things of the Lord. The things of the Lord are with many people. But the secret things, the hallowed bread of the Spirit, they are with them that fear him. He said, as a result, he will show them. He never said the things of the Lord. There are many things, but the secret. Every great man has secret. It takes only a fool to share everything to everybody. You don't do that. You don't have visitors come into your house and your mother says, come, let me even show you. We bought a new mattress. Come inside our bedroom. No. Hallelujah. But there are certain people, because of the depth of reverence, maybe a worker in the house who respects that man. The person can even have sons that are irresponsible, but he will call a house help into his bedroom and say, let me show you something. The secret things. There are chambers in the spirit, my brother, and everywhere is not accessible to everyone. Although we are in the kingdom, the secrets of the Lord. He said, I wept, for no man was worthy to open the book. The book is there, but it's not everybody who opens it. Hallelujah. The clearest proof of your reverence for God is to keep his commands. I want to give you a spiritual litmus test. And let's look at that very quickly in John 14 verse 21. John 14:21. The clearest proof. Don't just say, I fear God. No, there are exact parameters to measure. I love the kingdom. It doesn't leave you to confusion. You can know here and now, right now. I don't care whether you've been a preacher for 20 years. I don't care whether you cry if any song is being raised. The Bible says, he that had my what? So it's one thing to have it. Is that true? And does what? And keepeth them. He it is that loves me, that has respect and reverence for me. And as a result, he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Is that in your scripture? That means God is saying, I will come, I will reveal dimensions to him. He that obeys me is he that loves me. It's not enough to just say, I love you, I fear you. There are so many believers, talk is cheap. First John 5 verse 3. The Bible gives us another very clear test. First John 5 verse 3. Oh, Shibakata Labakura Sida Baladabai. Somebody is changing in the name of Jesus. First John 5 verse 3. Can we read together? One to read. For this is the what? Love of God, that we keep his commandments. And the Bible says his commandments are not burdensome. The word grievous there is the word burdensome. Hallelujah. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. His commands are not burdensome. Please don't let anybody fool you. There are laws in the kingdom. I've said it. These things are, it's not the law of Old Testament. They are the laws that give structure to the kingdom. The laws of the kingdom are like the skeleton in a man's body. That's what gives form and structure in the kingdom. Hallelujah. You must have the fear of the Lord.
You must have the spirit of reverence. So I can look at your life and know whether you fear God or not. Hallelujah. Don't say, I fear God by faith. Even him, he knows. There are exact parameters. You're not walking in his ways. You're not living by his principles and his value system. Don't tell me you fear God when you don't know the difference between church and a disco hall. Believers don't, in this side of God's kingdom, are not so involved in all those things again. But there are all kinds of things we do. And we believe. Listen, please, and I don't mean this to discredit ministers and ministries in the body of Christ, but I've said it again and again that the message of grace is only an accurate message if it is accepted as part of the full gospel. Are you getting my point? The whole gospel must be preached. There is a level to which the grace message is taught and just tells you, don't concentrate on your love for God, concentrate on his love for you, and concentrate on all of that, and you know, anything will happen. Everything has been done. Wonderful. What then is the reward of obedience? Why then is there hellfire? If everything is like that, God must apologize to Ananias and Sapphira. Don't you think so? Was it not in the New Testament they fell down and they died? Why? Couldn't he have at least given them a chance? Maybe they will repent later on. How could a loving God make the lake of fire? Hallelujah. Seven churches in the book of Revelation, when God began to talk to them, he was focused on their works. I know your works. I know your works. Is that in your Bible? Brothers and sisters, be careful. Hallelujah. Honor the body of Christ, but you must realize that if the gospel is not taught holistically, it can lead people into error. There are a lot of people missing it and dancing around in ignorance, believing. Are you getting my point? Let me share with you something that will surprise you. D.L. Moody. Many of you have read about him, right? D.L. Moody was a mighty evangelist of God, and he came and preached for decades. When D.L. Moody died, sir, after 10 years, they decided to do a little census to follow up the converts of D.L. Moody. Please listen, this is not an exaggerated statement. Hallelujah. And they found out that only one out of 10 converts of D.L. Moody were still standing in the faith. Are you getting what I'm saying? I respect him. I honor him. Hallelujah. Look at such a great man. After laboring, they found out that most of the people who were coming out in his meetings, only one out of 10 remained safe and were still in the faith. We're not talking of people who built ministries. Those who were still eligible to make heaven according to the standards of the word of God. What happened to all the emotionalism that happened in those meetings? And then they took the same census for a man called Charles G. Finney. Hallelujah. And they found out most of the great men you see, most of the great men, they were products of that man's revival. When you got born again in his meeting, you hear everything that keeps you in the faith for life. Something is wrong with our gospel. It's not incorrect, but it's not complete either. There are missing sides that we must couple together. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. God is a loving God, but God is also a just God. Hallelujah. What I've just told you now is called the gospel of the kingdom. It switches dimension and lets you know that Jesus is not only a savior, but he is a king. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We have allowed people to do all kinds of things. There are believers today who have all kinds of pornography on their phones, their laptops. They watch it, and the moment the Holy Spirit wants to convict them, they say, I'll never feel guilty. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Tomorrow they go back and do it again. Somebody goes, come on now, you trust me, I love you too much not to tell you the truth. People sleep around and do all kinds of things. And yes, God is a forgiving God. There is a difference between a challenge in your life and the spirit of rebellion at work in your life. Rebellion is a perpetual, willful, continual state of violating God's principles. And the consequence is hellfire. I don't care whether you're a pastor or whether you are whatever. Please take what I'm saying seriously. Hallelujah. Paul, the one who brought what we know as the Pauline epistles. If his gospel was so pleasant, I have a question. Why did they stone him? Have you ever wondered? Why did they stone him? What did he say that got the people angry? That they stoned him? Hallelujah. Why did they behead James? It wasn't just because they were angry at them. There was a content that we are missing today. And that's the reason. I'm telling you, this is why many believers are not powerful. Anything comes and just throws us down. Because there is a content of the gospel that needs to be re-examined. Now, don't carry your zeal and go and listen to every message a man of God is preaching and you get up and say, I know better. That's foolishness. I hope you understand that God is granting us maturity. But I am just telling you that as much as the grace message is good, it only makes sense when it is incorporated as the whole truth. There are many other components of the kingdom. What's the formula for water? The chemical formula for water is what? H2O. Is that true? Just add one more of oxygen, it becomes H2O2. What is that? Are you seeing that? Same thing that can be water now, for adding something wrong, it can become poison at once and kill you. Everything in the kingdom must be taught within the dimensions that Jesus kept them. Hallelujah. I'm saying this because there are people who will be listening to these teachings all across, and some of you, God is going to trust you with ministries. You will have your churches. Please don't be afraid of being criticized. You must stand and teach the truth. Are you getting me? I remember somebody who sent me a text one day and said, please, I have a problem with you praying for people. How do believers just manifest and you say you are casting out demons out of them? Is that really true? I just sent the person my text. I said, I love you. We see from different perspectives in the kingdom. And God will help us. We operate from the perspectives that we see. And that was all I said. Praise the Lord. Time is a revealer. I hope you know that. Time. There are some things you should never talk about. Time. Just allow time to pass. That's why sometimes you say something and God keeps quiet. People just say, you will never make it, and God never responds. And you are saying, God has already spoken. Time is a language in this realm. It can speak so loud. Brothers and sisters, when we started this thing you are seeing, I cannot tell you how many people criticize the things we are doing. They say it won't last. I saw many zealous pastors. Those of you who were around those times, you know that it was madness in this side of God's kingdom. Everybody was doing everything. People carrying briefcases and ladies all around them. I am this, I am that. People scrounging to go for radio programs and all of that. And some of us look like fools. But he has chosen the foolish things.
With everything, we will shout for your glory. With everything, we will shout forth your praise. Oh, 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 listen. If I mislead you and I teach you error, the God of heaven is going to judge me. Even if I don't love you, I love my destiny. Are you getting what I'm saying? The Bible says, ask for the ancient paths and walk in it. I'll never forget one minister. I've shared with you the story. That guy's ministry was grounded. Things were tight. There were all kinds of demonic things, but that guy would never accept that there was a demonic problem. No, no, there's nothing wrong. Nothing was happening. And one day he summoned courage to come for counseling. And so as soon as he entered, I saw a spirit enter with him. And he just came, just sat down. And then he was telling me all kinds of things. Things are not exactly working, this and that. I said, my brother, I need to pray for you. Ah! Guy felt embarrassed, his ego, you know. And you know, we get deceived because you touch somebody and the person falls. You just believe that it means God has finished working on you. Is that true? And I was going to pray for the person. The last thing he could remember was that he got down on his knees. Right? Scattered the place, scattered the room. And I said, look, at this is the same person who will argue and maybe insult me and write articles and write all kinds of things. This guy got up, went back to his ministry and boom! Goodness! How a man can sit down in ignorance for years, whereas in 2 minutes of humility, your destiny can open up. How believers in the body have sat down in ignorance. Their salvation is closer to them than they can ever see. But it takes meekness to receive the word. You can be dying. There are families that can be dying in situations, whereas the arm of the Lord is not short that it can save. What is keeping you from entering the next level of your life? Could it be that brokenness? There is nothing wrong to accept that, oh, this is what I used to believe, but I've seen clearer now. Lord, help your body in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's hurry up. We're still talking about how to secure favor with God. We have to rush. Number two, you must have faith in God. You want to secure the favor of the favor of God in your life. Remember, we're talking about favor with God. You must have faith in God. It's very important. James 5 verse 4 tells us this is the victory that overcomes. And it says, even our faith. You know what it means to have faith in God? I'm going to explain it to you. The first revelation of having faith in God is to trust Him. It's as simple as that. Trust Him. Don't complicate your faith experience. It means trust Him. Proverbs chapter 3 from verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Verse 6 says, in all your ways, not some, in all your ways, recognize Him, acknowledge Him, and His reward for your acknowledging Him is that He will make straight your paths. And then verse 7 says, it's a warning. It says, be not wise in your own understanding. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Be not wise in your own understanding. That means you can feel you are wise in your own understanding, but it says fear the Lord, and that fear of the Lord will make you turn away from evil. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11 verse 6 tells us that without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh unto God must believe that He is, in other words, that He exists, and then number two, that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. It takes faith. Hallelujah. It takes faith in God. It takes faith in God. Very important. You must trust in the Lord. Psalms 125 verse 1. He said, they that trust in the Lord shall be like Mount Zion that cannot be shaken. Hallelujah. Very important. They that trust in the Lord. When you have faith in God, it gives you stability. Through all of the boisterous winds that blow around our lives. Where are we? Okay, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which shall not be removed or shaken, but abides forever. Do you trust in the Lord? What is faith, first and foremost? Let me tell you. Faith is never faith until it can be seen or heard. Let me shock you right now. Faith is never faith until it can be seen or heard. Faith comes from the Greek word pistis. Hallelujah. What that means is your faith is your persuasion or conviction plus the corresponding action you take based on that conviction. Are you getting my point now? If you have not acted on faith, it's called belief. It's not called faith. Are you getting me? Belief is just your persuasion. When you act based on that belief, it becomes faith. So the Bible says, have faith in God. Become persuaded so much in the character of God that you take steps based on that conviction. So the equation of faith is revelation plus conviction or persuasion, then plus corresponding action. Write it and never forget, because faith comes when you hear the word of God. So it starts with revelation. Then that revelation brings conviction or persuasion. You are convinced about this reality you just heard about. Convinced enough to take steps. Then the Bible calls that. Without the action component is called belief. What many people are doing that they call faith is belief. That means not acting on the word of God is the clearest proof that you don't trust God. Not acting on the word of God is the clearest proof, biblically, that you do not trust God. So many people hear the word of God and we claim to be convinced. Let me tell you, in this life, the moment you are convinced about a thing, action is almost automatic. Hallelujah. A guy sees a lady and thinks he likes her, and he keeps nursing that persuasion until it pushes him to say, sister, please, after Koinonia, I'll be at this door. Will you mind passing there? That's action. Three guys saw the lady and said, wow, nice lady. I saw the way, you know, she's fine and she likes God praying. It's nice when a fine lady is praying. And that's all. He stopped and they all moved. But he was convinced and he said, look, I'm going to take a step further, right? And he meets the lady and then they get married. What is that? Action. Whereas there is another brother who kept saying, me, even me, God knows from the depths of my heart, this is my wife. And you watch somebody complete the equation and carry your wife. I just spoke about marriage. Some of you have woken up now. Brothers, you need this message before you carry any man's daughter to the altar. That statement you make at the altar is so implicating. It will take a long time for you to see the significance of that vow. Don't let your tithe deceive you. You are standing there just talking. Will you do this? Everybody, you are just telling everybody, I'm getting married. After the marriage, the rubber will hit the road. Your eye will clear. My friend Jimmy says, love is blind, but marriage will open your eyes. Praise God. So let's hurry up. Number three, I'm going to shock you now. You want to secure favor with God? The third principle is the tithe. T-I-T-H-E. Ah. How many of us have been taught in our churches and our different groups that tithe helps you to secure favor with God? Even those who have thought about tithe just preach about it because there are bills that need to be paid, and they say you need to pay your tithe. If you don't pay your tithe, you don't pay your tithe and see whether God will bless you. And you see the anger with which the man is preaching, and God tells you, please, please, pay this tithe. Every church, every ministry, their prosperity is dependent on their own obedience to the principles of the kingdom. My prosperity as a minister of the gospel is not dependent on Koinonia people. Ah, that would have been a terrible way to live. I would have been frowning at you every week. What did you drop last week? No. There are many men of God who are burdens to their congregations because they do not realize that their prosperity is tied to their own personal obedience. Can I be sincere with you? Many men of God don't tithe. Hallelujah. Many men of God don't tithe. They teach tithing. Do you know how long it took me as a man of God to be consistent in tithing? I want to be sincere with you. You know I fear God and I honor God. When I saw how difficult it was to tithe, with all the fear that I had for God, I said, man, that means many people, somebody is lying somewhere in this equation. It takes the giving grace to come upon your life. One, two, it takes you designing a system to make your tithing efficient. Are you getting my point? You don't tithe just, no. The first thing I want you to understand about tithing is that tithing is not a debt you are paying. Many people come before God with tithe. Help me with one of these envelopes. And they bring the tithe. Thank you. Don't worry. They bring the tithe and they just stand frowning. Okay, God, please, so you will not harass me, take. And once they pray, they say it's blessed. Where you just drop it in the offering basket. Your tithe secures favor with God. You want to be on God's side, brothers and sisters. Not being on God's side is disastrous. It's not just about finances. There is a spirit called the devourer. It is alive and active in the earth. Hallelujah. I must talk about this. Your tithe is not the payment of a debt, because everything we owe belongs to God. Your tithe is an acknowledgement. It's a documentation of your gratitude. You're saying, Lord, in obedience to you and for your faithfulness, I bring 10%. Brothers and sisters, hear me. Let me kneel down. Look at me. I'm kneeling down. Snap me so that you see it on the done. I'm done with your phone. I'm pleading with you in the name of the Lord God. If you love God, I beg you in the name of Jesus Christ, be consistent in your time. See, I'm getting down on my knees and I'm begging you. Ah, you've been snapping, no, Joe. Okay, let me just hands up so that you know that I'm kneeling down. Be faithful. Don't think tithing is a gimmick by a preacher. I can tell you this. Ask the financial department. By the grace of God as a ministry, we do not owe God one naira. I don't care what collection is made for what. The tithe of God. Before anything happens, you really think we're running this ministry from the... Look, you know what you are dropping in the offering basket. At least you don't know your neighbor's home, but you know your own. You can't run ministry with things people are throwing. No. There is a mystery of divine supply. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You must believe this. I was sharing some of the testimonies with Pastor Williams. Benefits of tithing. I remember one time we're just praying and trusting God. There were things here and there to get and all of that, and we were just saying, oh Lord, we thank you because we are tithers, we are faithful. Till today, I was sharing with you, Pastor, till today we do not know the person. We just got an alert, 1.5 million by an unknown person we do not know into the ministry account, whereas That's somebody's labor. Somebody who is collecting 50,000. How much is his salary? That calculate it. For more than 1 year. For being faithful in tithing. I think I was talking to the protocol department. They went to purchase something in Abuja. And then I was talking to them. The mixer. We just got a better mixer. Very good one. And then I was talking to them. I think it was someone on my birthday. Pastor. Someone just, right? Yes. And the person just said, they just paid some money for their family that they were hoping, you know, 3.4 million naira. And the person just said, well, thank God for all the words you are speaking, the things you are teaching us, and was just sending the tithe and all of that. Let me tell you, when you see what we are doing, because I know many of you sit and wonder, how do these people really get money? Yes, God is faithful, but what is the 1+1 of it? Let me tell you, the 1+1 of it is what I'm teaching you here, the tithe. If you are not a faithful tither, God is not authorized to bless you. Stop wasting your time in praying and fasting for wealth. If you are not a tither, I want you to know the devourer will stand and stare at your face. If you like, put a Bible on your head. Prayer is not the seed for financial breakthrough. Prayer is the seed for fellowship with the Spirit and spiritual awakening and the presence of God and activating the anointing, not prosperity. Your tithe, your giving are the seeds for increase. Many people who want to be blessed will argue this thing. And you ask the person, how much do you have? How much has entered your hand that you are arguing? You are saying it's not correct. It's a terrible thing when you don't have results and you are still arguing. Blessed is he who comes in the name of our God. Blessed is he who comes in the name of our God. When you pay your tithe, you are securing favor with God. Please and please and please teach this to anyone you love and make up your mind from today. Your tithe is a tenth portion, one tenth of your income that secures open heavens, favor with God. Tithe, because it guarantees God's continuous favor in your life. Oh, I don't want to be outside of the favor of God. It's dangerous. It's a risky position. It's like being face to face with a lion. Imagine how many devils of darkness will want on their own to destroy my life. I found a place of refuge. I found a way of walking under an open heavens. Do you know the wickedness, the arrows that fly by day, the noisome pestilence? Do you know how many people want to see your downfall? If there is no spiritual way of keeping yourself standing, you will fall like a leaf. Are you getting what I'm saying? How many people use all their monies for sickness? All their monies for no open heavens? Say after me, in the name of Jesus, I make up my mind to be faithful in tithing. Say it again, in the name of Jesus. See, the truth is, many of us are not consistent. Our tithing life is up, down, up, down. That's why today it looks like some doors of favor open up, and then tomorrow. It's not God's fault. J.C. Penney, many of you have heard about him. J.C. Penney, one of the multi-billionaires who love God. He was tithing, and at a point, something happened, and he said he wanted to experiment with God. He stopped tithing. That was how his business just nosedived like that, to a point that it was almost crashing. And he said, wow. And he started tithing. And that was how he got himself back. You better believe what I'm telling you. Many of our parents do not tithe from their salaries. They are collecting 150,000, yet they cannot afford 5,000. You ask them for 5,000, they will almost kill you. because a devourer has eaten everything. In one day, two tires just patch, and all the money has gone. Just when you are coming, something happens. Arrows that fly by day, and they now look and they say, sorry, you need this and that, you will be spent, and all the money goes. Then the moment the money goes, the person gets well by himself, the devourer. And you are praying and fasting and conducting night vigils and running around your parlor in the night, rather than obedience that is better than sacrifice. Many of us can prefer to run marathon prayers from 11 to 6 to try to solve something that faithfulness in tithing. Many of our fathers have brought predicaments upon the family because they are not faithful in tithing. A solid building, a solid structure, small rain just comes and washes everything just when they wanted to finish zinging. Back to square one. There are even those that physical money disappears. Have you heard that story? Somebody keeps 1 million, he comes back and finds 780,000. Someone came for counseling. I've never had that thing. The woman said rats eat her money. No, serious. I'm not joking at all. Rats. You come in the morning and you see pieces of what sort of devil tithing. I think it was either Paul Enenche or Bishop David Oyedepo that shared something, that some armed robbers came and they were going to destroy a woman or capture one family, and the woman shouted. She took her tithe booklet, lifted it up and dropped it on the ground and said, God, watch the people match this booklet and come and touch me. At once, confusion came on the people. They were afraid, and that was how they left. Brothers and sisters, what you do not believe will not work for you. Oh, I believe the word of God. I'm that minister of the gospel that believes every word of Jesus. Are you getting blessed? Leviticus 27 verse 30. Let's finish up on the issue of tithe very quickly. Leviticus 27 verse 30. Let me show you how the devil has been cheating many of us. Tithe heals you from greed. Everyone, let's read. One, two, read. Is the Lord's, and it is holy unto God. So when I take my tithe, I say, Lord, I'm documenting my gratitude. I honor you. I thank you. How many of our parents receive some money? Maybe one money that is spending, it just comes in 7 million, and they just calculate. Use calculator, 700,000. Me, go and give that man of God. I'm not stupid. Abba, 700,000. And you see the person arguing. And within 3 weeks, he has spent over 1 million naira on his health. Armed robbers will come and put a gun and say, we saw through the jars that we used that there's 7 million in this. I say, no, it's only 4. They will now slap you and say, truly, it's 7. Where is it? He say, that's it here. Take it and preserve my life. Whereas, the tithe of it. Have you seen how many of our family members put us in trouble? I say this, many of us keep wondering, why is my father working? Why is my mother working? The truth is that they are all working. They've never been driven from job, but not even a house to build. The mysteries of the kingdom. There is no favor. The heavens are closed. So many believers operating under closed heaven. There are many ministries. They are so tight, no supplies. They beg for everything. Squeeze people, put people, workers and all of that under every kind of pressure. Because the man of God is not tithing. The people are not tithing. The ministry is not tithing. Dr. Mike Murdoch was sharing, and he said there was a time the finance of his ministry was going down. It was going down so bad, and he checked, and then he called the finance department. He said, something is wrong. We are not doing something right. What is wrong? Hallelujah. And the financial secretary said, well, sir, for about 3 months now, we've not been paying tithe because the bills are enormous. And honestly, if we have to pay tithe, we may shut you down from TV and all of that. And my good doctor said, because of that, you stop paying the tithe. That means we are going to crash to zero.
the day we stop paying tithe as a ministry, I give you 1 to 2 months. It will never happen. That's why I have the confidence to say it. Maybe one day you come and you just see no fuel for generator or no chairs. Ah! No. As surely as the God of heaven lives, we have created a system that does not depend on our personal emotions again. Is someone learning something? Is your heavens open? Pastor, is your heaven open? Over your family. There are many people who do not tithe. They pay school fees, 250 naira. The child, brilliant boy, is coming back with one dull result. 0, 0, 0, 0, 39, 41. That's the average. What is happening? All kinds of witchcraft activities flying freely because the heavens are closed. Are you getting blessed with what I'm saying? You want to secure favor with God? You must be faithful. We've not talked about favor with men, no. And that's really where I want to dwell tonight. That's why I'm rushing. I'm not teaching on finances, so I'll stop here for you. We are going to pray just in 1 minute before we continue. Many of us need to repent because the financial stress in our family is not because of the job. It's not. It's not because they didn't promote your father. I'm telling you the truth. If we don't take responsibility, we will keep giving. It's easy to blame people for our financial predicament. Are you getting my point? It's so easy. If that they promoted me, I would have been collecting 200,000 now instead of 150. My life would have been better. So wrong. So wrong. You collect 1 million under a closed heaven and you will see the way the devil will make a caricature of your life. Lift up your voice in 1 minute and say, Lord, I repent. Be sincere with yourself. Some of us need to pray on behalf of our families. Please be sincere. Lord, I've not been faithful tithing. I don't know what it is, oh God, but I find out that it's so hard. I've not had the revelation. I'm not yet convinced. I think it's a gimmick by a man of God or a ministry. I think it's just a gimmick. Koinonia is trying to squeeze out money from me. No. Go ahead and pray. Because there are many of us, no matter how many miracle services you come, I'm telling you, the heavens are closed. The heavens are closed. There is no favor with God. That's why the doors that were open before, they are not even open again. Be sincere with yourself. There were strange manifestations of favor from God. They are not even there again. Your shop that used to sell, nothing is selling again because you think you don't tithe for your business. Now the heavens are closed. Look at many of our parents. You buy a new gadget, you bring the machine, everything breaks down. This is the devourer, brothers and sisters. Let's take responsibility tonight and say, Lord, we cry for help. The finance of families are finished because of paying for drugs and sicknesses, paying for damaged cars, paying for all kinds of things. Pray and say, Lord, I want your favor. From tonight, I repent. I receive the giving grace to be a delightsome tither. I realize that this is the key. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you read. I don't care what your level of anointing is. I don't care how hardened your heart is. If you want to experience favor with God, I'm telling you, one of the keys is you must be a consistent tither. You must design a system around your life. If there are needs in your life, that's the more reason to tithe. Don't say the needs are too much. Man of God, is because you don't know. I have so much needs. I must do this and that. Tithe your way out of that trouble. Tithe your way out of that trouble. Eating your tithe will only get you deeper. I promise you, you can apply every business principle you know. Fail to tithe
and watch the devourer scatter your life and your family. But you be faithful towards tithing and watch God turn any situation around. It doesn't take time. Commit God into your life. Anything God is involved in must succeed. Many of us, God is not committed in the affairs of our lives. I don't want to know what you are going through now. Tithe your way out of it. Secure the favor of the Almighty. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Please let me challenge you. Create a system. If you do internet banking, you can have the account details of the ministry or whatever, or if it is here you tithe, the ministry's account details are available to. If you do internet banking, transfer it immediately. Otherwise, buy envelopes. Buy envelopes. I always have a stash of envelopes. Praise God. The treasurer is here. We created a system. I don't even see the tithe. As it is counted, we take it and sow it to the appropriate ministry. Brothers and sisters, please listen to me. Are you not tired of what you have seen your loved ones go through? Didn't they go to school? Didn't they get all the degrees? Look at everything. See how helpless people are. Because they know not, neither will they understand. And the Bible says they grope in darkness and the earth is out of course. Let's finish the last part. How do you activate and secure favor with men? I must talk about this. Spoke about three things right now to secure favor with God. That number one, you must have the fear of God, the fear of the Lord. Number two, you must have faith in God. You must trust him. Number three, you must be a consistent tither. But when it comes to finding favor with men, the rule is different. If you have been sleeping, this is the time to wake up. I believe with all my heart that your destiny depends on this revelation I'm sharing tonight. Daniel chapter 1. Open our eyes, oh God. Daniel chapter 1. Help us. Grant us grace. Someone is walking in undeniable realms of favor after today. In the name of Jesus Christ. I want to share with you something very powerful. How do you secure favor with men? In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. Verse 2. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure of his God. Verse 3. And the king, listen now, spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel. So the king is inviting some people to stand before the king. Hallelujah. And the kings, and of the king's seed, and of the princes. Verse 4. Everyone read. 1, 2, read. Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability, take note, in them to stand in the king's palace. It takes an ability. Are you seeing that? He said those who have what? Ability to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Let's stop there. Look up. There is a mystery to securing favor with men. And I want you to get this very straight. There were many people who were captured. But notice what Nebuchadnezzar said. He said, there are a kind of people I want. The king that we captured now, I want all the people that worked in his palace, because they have been trained according to the life of royalty. Bring them. I want certain choice guys that came from Israel. There were certain things that the eunuchs were looking at. Brothers and sisters, there is a price to secure favor with men. Can I tell you something? Favor is the currency to get money. Think about what I said very carefully. Favor is the currency to get money. Write this down, please. The ultimate key to entering the realm of favor with men, never forget this for as long as you live. If you pay attention to this, we will celebrate together as the great ones in the future. But you neglect this, you will be part of those quarreling those who will be the great ones. Listen, the ultimate key to entering the realm of favor with men is to possess the ability to provide solutions and solve their problems. Write it down. The ultimate key, I'll say it again, to entering the realm of favor with men is to possess the ability to solve their problems and provide solutions. Oh, Shiba, write this down. Solve problems, then write three ellipses. Provide solutions. Let's discuss this briefly. When I solve this, we'll tie it up by showing you how God announces men in the kingdom. The ultimate key, brothers and sisters, hear me. Every man in scripture who became great because he was favored. He found favor with men. And every man who found favor with men had something to exchange for that favor. Is someone getting what I'm saying? Joseph would have died in the prison if he never had the ability to interpret dreams. Daniel would never rise to reign in a strange land through the dispensation of three kings if he had no ability to solve problems. I say this all the time, and some of us neglect it. Write that word down, ability. Ability. This is your key to finding favor with men and entering the realm of greatness. Gender notwithstanding. Background notwithstanding. Age notwithstanding. Nationality notwithstanding. Hallelujah. Until you solve a problem, you remain insignificant and unnoticed. If you are not providing solution, brothers and sisters, nobody needs you. The world is so desperate for solutions, they will only run towards the direction of those who are solving problems. The greater problems you solve, the greater you become magnetic. Please understand this. If you think people will invite you into their presence just because they like you or because you are a Christian, you are dreaming. Wake up. Hello? You know, many of us have this funny understanding that because I'm serving God, one day great men will call me. Start reading your Bible very carefully, and you will find out that no great man appeared before the king just like that. There was an ability that qualified him to stand before the king. I have a question. What will qualify you to stand before men who can honor you and bring you into greatness? Are you getting my point?
The reason why you may be insignificant as you think is because your ability has not brought you to a position of notoriety. Please hear what I'm saying. All men are equal, but their graces and abilities separate them and make certain things possible for others. Your ability, that anointing, that skill, that grace, that gift is what you will use to access favor with men.
There are people today, by the grace of God, who have come to see me, and I know that if not for the grace of God, there is nothing I will have in exchange for the level of the honor of those people. Not at this level of my life. Are you getting what I'm saying? There are offices and places that I access today and bump into those people, and I know the level of great men in themselves who cannot access those offices. The gift of a man can make room for him and bring him before great men. Your gift can add to your age. Your gift can qualify you where you do not qualify. And the king sent for Joseph, and they brought him out of his dungeon. We must understand this, then I will show you how God lifts people in the kingdom. Say, in the name of Jesus, I have an ability that will bring me before great men. Say one more time, in the name of Jesus, I have an anointing. I have grace. I have an ability that will bring me before great men. I have entered places today that my father may never enter, perhaps. I have entered places today that, with all humility, my contemporaries maybe may never enter their lifetime. Because of the gift of God. Look, when you possess this ability, they told Jesus, they said, all men seek for thee. All men, they will pay you for it. They will pay you in millions and think it's a privilege that they are honoring you. And you will be surprised. You're wondering, my goodness. But there is an ability, and because they need it, they will look for you. There are 7 billion people in the earth, but more than 90% of those people are looking for solutions. That's big business, brother. If you can become a solution provider, you become magnetic. See the darkness in Nigeria. Look, let me tell you, if you have a ministry that spits saliva on people's face and they get healed, spit it on 20 people and let them get healed, and you will see the level of intelligent people who come and stand for days waiting to be healed. Many of us do not know the level of darkness that is upon the earth. Please listen. The Spirit of God is moving in this place right now, because I want to share something very powerful. There is an anointing you have that can bail you forever. There is an anointing, the ability that makes you to stand before kings. You will not be the one looking for them. The Gentiles will come, not to you, to your light. That's what they want, not you. If you think people come because they like you, there are many people who come for Koinonia not because they like me. Will be amazed to see how many people came to Jesus. King of the Jews, you are this and that. When it looked like Jesus' ministry was nosediving, they say, I beg, crucify him, let his blood even be upon our head. Please listen, let me just advise you. If you think you have a crowd or people love you because of you, there are very few people in your lifetime who will love you because of your personality. Many people will love you because of what you carry. Are you getting my point? There is this treasure in earthen vessels, so that you will end some things in your life. I will never be a failure in this life forever. I know it. I know it. Rich men have problems that I can solve. Yes. Great men have problems that I can solve. I cannot solve every problem, but brothers and sisters, there are problems I can solve. Now, watch this. Let me explain to you the equation, what I call the equation of greatness. You will be so blessed. Just give me a few minutes and we'll pray now. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 1, media, project it. I love the Lord. When I did this study, my heart dropped. I said, oh God, I'm sorry for all the times that I kept blaming you for so many things. Ecclesiastes 9. Verse 11. Everybody, please read. I returned and saw under the that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. This is the mystery we're about to discuss now. Everybody read it. But time and chance. I want to show you the mystery of greatness. Listen. Repeat this last clause again. One, two, go. Time. One more time. But time and chance happens to who? How many? Everybody. Now replace the word chance. Where are we now? Okay, but time and chance. Replace the word chance with opportunity. Are you ready now? One, two, read. I want you to replace the word time with the word seasons. Are you ready now? One, two, read. But seasons and opportunities happen to them all. But seasons, like the hand of a clock, it has been designed by the sovereign act of God that for every man upon the surface of the earth, there is the turning of the hand of the clock, and that one day, time and opportunity will always happen to them. Holy Spirit. Did the Bible say it happens to some? Happens to everybody. That means there is a guarantee. Please listen. Somebody's deliverance is coming. There is a guarantee based on the word of God that a day must come if God is God, where time and chance. You know how they do cooperative society? Five of us bring 20,000. It's now your own turn. It's now your own turn. And I start smiling, although it's not my turn, because I know that my turn is coming for sure. And the Bible says time and chance. So in the equation of greatness, we are bringing the constant factors, and then we work on the variables. We are doing a little mathematics here. Are you getting my point? It says time and chance. This one, no devil can stop it. No herbalist from your village. You don't need to pray about it. He said time. If you are under the sun, time and chance happeneth to them. I show you a mystery. So time, that means a time will come in my life, whether I'm prepared or not, whether I pray for it or not, whether I fast for it or not, a time will come where the hand of God will navigate opportunities. Whether I see it or not is irrelevant. God's justice must be done. Therefore, The Bible forewarns us. It says redeeming the time. Now that you know that a day will come. This is where a lot of people miss it. We keep focusing on looking at the day. The Bible says it will come. Remove that in the equation of your preparation for greatness. And begin to focus on taking advantage of that day. It will come. The equation of greatness. Let's look at... Okay. Greatness, therefore, in the kingdom comes by number one. God merging seasons and opportunities together. And then number two, you finding favor by securing that opportunity. I'm going to explain myself. Let me have somebody, please. Okay, Aaron, come. Hallelujah. Watch this. Let's assume this is spiritual timing. And according to God's justice system, okay, stand here, Aaron, please. That this time is going to keep moving. Are you seeing it now? And that a day will come. It may take a long time, but that a day is going to come when it will come to Aaron. And if Aaron misses on that opportunity, it will keep moving again. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why if God wants to help you in life, he restores years, not what you lost. Years. He tries to bring back the time so that the mistake you made, you can remedy it. He never said, I will restore the goods because they are not necessary. Once there is time and those seasons. Is somebody understanding what I'm saying? Now, the problem with the body of Christ is that we all sit down being distracted at looking at the clock and waiting for the day it gets to our turn, rather than getting busy to sharpen that ability so that the day the time comes, you will enter the presence of greatness once and never come out again forever. Every man in the scripture that became great waited for that Kairos moment. Joseph was in the prison, but he knew there is an ability to interpret dreams. It's only a matter of time. The brother sold him. He said, no problem. Pharaoh's wife lied that he wanted to rape her. No problem. They threw him in the prison. But when the season comes, that part of the equation is God that starts moving. That's favor with God. Are you seeing that now? God made it in such a way that the wine presser had to do something wrong to go to the prison. So while he was in the prison, the divine transaction started happening. And the wine presser came out. Although the wine presser forgot about him, but a day came. Let me tell you, it does not take 2 days for you to enter greatness. Read the Bible. It always happens in one day. There is always a day called one day. He said John remained in the wilderness until his season of appearing. John was sharpening himself in the wilderness. When the season came, he came out and he completed his assignment one time. Jesus for 30 years was preparing for a season of 3 years. 30 years. Read all the books, knew all the law, did everything, and there was flawless victory within 3.5 years. So there are many of us sitting down looking at people's cars and say, man, I like this Jeep. Goodness. BMW, this and that. Ford Explorer 2014. Limited edition. Look at that foolishness. We are there claiming. I claim it. Time and chance. Your turn is soon coming. Create an urgency. Sharpen the knife. Sharpen the anointing. Sharpen the healing anointing. One day. See, let me tell you. You may say there are many people. The Bible says in Israel, there were many widows, but to none was the prophet sent. God will send people specifically to you. And when you take advantage of that season, that is it. You are open to a dimension of grace. I have studied almost every great ministry I admire, and I found out that in the history of that ministry, something always happened. Something happened at a Kairos season, and the men plunged into it with revelation, and boom, never to return again. Are you getting what I'm sharing with you? Ah, I feel the anointing of the Spirit. If you sit down and you are wondering, Kai, this house, one day we are coming, when will this come? No. You never see me bother. You insult yourself when you do that. Many young people here, our dream is car, right? Car. Let me buy car. And you are trying to save. How much can you save for the car you want? I'm teaching you a higher law. Get out of all those ways of frustration and misery. That's why many people cannot give God glory. They suffer for everything in their life. Come and adopt the kingdom's way. There is a higher dimension. There is a higher way. Believe me. Look, let me tell you. I'm a businessman. I've read many business books. So don't you think I'm just talking nonsense? I know what I'm saying. Hallelujah. When that Kairos moment comes in your life, when it comes in your ministry, some people are snoring through the night. The time will pass. They wake up and an opportunity that took 10 years has just passed. Before it will come back again, the first son is graduating from the university. He has not learned his lesson. After 25 years, it comes again. Prophecy comes. In the name of Jesus, let restoration happen. And by the mercy of God, the time is reversed. It comes again. The same lack of preparation keeps bringing people down. Are you seeing why it takes more than receive it to walk in this realm? You will thank me in the future for what I'm teaching you. I'm teaching you the way to a superior life, so that you stop blaming your parents and say, if my father only accepted this job, stupid man would have been out of this thing. Leave your father alone. God is bringing you to a point. I don't care what degree you graduated with. I don't care. There is a problem. Listen, if you solve a millionaire's problem, you have access to his millions. It's as simple as that. I'll never be a failure in this life. Never. So every time I spend in prayer, I'm sharpening my giftings for that day. A day will come when that season comes, God will send a great man who can sow a seed of 100 million naira to Koinonia. The person will be dying of tuberculosis or something. It's like that. That's how it works. There is always something you can exchange for. And God will make it in such a way that on the day he's coming, somebody will be bringing Koinonia messages. That one is God's part of the equation. While that is happening, I'm praying in the secret place. Shikata baba baba. Rakatabada. Greater wisdom, oh God. You can sleep in the night and not know that that is the last time you will sleep in that realm. Hi. If Joseph knew, all the people in the prison would have cleaned his shoe and said, Oga, it is within your bail me. Imagine the guy that barbed Joseph. When he was shaving Joseph, little did he know, he would have earned himself a position forever. Imagine those who were in the prison with Obasanjo, the night he will come out. If they had known that he would just come out never to return, they would have said, Augusta, let's pray. Father, bless this man so that at least he will remember them. Beware of people that you keep mocking and say, you are not this, you can't speak English very well, you can't do this and that and that. Beware. Let me tell you. You know why? Because if you don't take time, please look at me, let's just focus. God is just doing this thing. If you don't pay attention, can I tell you the truth? A day will come, you will find out that the same person you saw today, you looked at her, said, Mary, what is there? You will open an office that you fill form for 2 weeks. There are people today who are angry with me. They are angry with me because there were times when we could access one another, and at those times they could say a lot of things. call me when they wanted, but I was doing something they were not doing. We were all laughing and joking. And today, because of the difficulty in reaching me, they pick offense. It's not my fault. I refuse to remain at that level. I intend to grow. Be nice to people today. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, for those of you who look at people in Koinonia, and when we say greet one another, you just turn. You don't know who you are turning. Time and chance. He may come from a poor family. He may have one torn sandals. But let me tell you, time, the word you are hearing is sharpening you for that time. A day will come. There is something God has put in you. This is the justice of God. This is why every man can be great. Time and chance happens to them all. The day it happened to our parents, they were not prepared. They were there talking about others, criticizing others, and the clock passed. And it went to one drunkard who just got born again and saw the time, took advantage of it. And they said, is this not the boy on campus that was drinking? He was drinking, but he did something with his opportunity. Now he's a billionaire. He's a pastor. He's advancing the kingdom. Let me tell you something that happened. In 2008, I believe, I was in Accra for a retreat and something happened. Hallelujah. No, I think 2007 or so. I was in Accra for a retreat, praying and seeking the face of God for the things that he was going to do. And while I was praying, my money had finished. I had nothing, not even to eat, not even to pay for the hotel where I was having the retreat for that night. I finished praying. I was reading a book, Within the Gates. It's a divine revelation book. When I read it, the Spirit of God just told me, stroll around. And I came out, I started strolling. I was walking like a fool. Time and chance. I want to share with you testimonies now. The Holy Ghost just said, just keep walking. I was walking like a fool. I didn't know where I was going. Up to 25 minutes, I was just walking. The next thing, I saw a signboard. Welcome to Accra City Campus. And the Holy Ghost said, enter. Immediately I entered. The first person I'll meet is the SRC president. And the guy, listen, the guy looked at me. And the moment he looked at me, he said, how are you, sir? When he shook me, he just took his hand. He said, Jesus. He said, can you come to my office? Miracle number one. Listen, listen. True story. I want to tell you, I know what I'm saying. I'm not just making noise. When this guy brought me to the office, we didn't speak more than 5 minutes. He started shaking. Time and chance. And they ordered a meal. I first ate the meal. And then we attended their fellowship. I sat down quietly. After they attended their, just like the campus has Friday fellowship. When they finished, I went to his office. Watch this. The moment I started talking, at about 2-4. We rounded up that meeting past 9. When we started talking, the university esco started coming to the office one by one. They would come. This one would fall under the anointing and remain there. It was in that place I inaugurated the prayer group that prayed for the campus in Accra. In that Accra City campus. On that day, I'm still in touch with that gentleman. Again, his life changed. There was, they have their prophets, like their, maybe what you would call an FCS president. Yes, after the president would finish, he invited me again to Accra and I went to minister in a program, and it was a powerful and explosive program. I was even on radio, the radio, and they did an interview. I think that was when we traveled with Bala, Alex, and a team of other people. Listen, that's not the whole story. When I finished that night, the people came together past 9. They raised an offering of maybe equivalent in Naira now of maybe 30,000. And they gave me, I didn't even know how to find my way back. They directed me, I found my way, paid for that night, and I ate a very good meal. I said, it works. I remember in the room I was screaming. I said, come on, not it has equal value in any land. You don't need to know nobody. All this Godfather nonsense, let me tell you, get out of it right now. If God is on your side, there is nothing you cannot get. Listen, the night I was supposed to leave, those guys started crying because they would come and visit me in my hotel. It was within 3 or 4 days, their lives changed. They said, what sort of person? I taught them on the kingdom. It was an unusual open heavens. So the last day they invited me again, I prayed with them, strengthened all the people, you know, blessed them. They had impartations and all of that. And they raised me money again, an equivalent of maybe say 50,000. And then I returned back. Who would have helped me? I don't have any uncle, but the gift of a man. The time and chance is God's own equation. Leave it for him. God is speaking to someone tonight. You have been crying and say, Lord, when will it come? God said, forget about the issue of when. Are you prepared? Are you seeing that God delaying seasons is an act of his love? That thing you have been calling delay, you are not prepared. If it had come before this message, you would have blown it, only for it to come back 10 years. You open a shop, nobody's coming. God is saying, I don't want you to miss. Be careful what you call delay. Some things may be the hand of God. Your job, you didn't get the job. God said, I don't want you to struggle. There is something you can know. You go for a job, in 4 months, you have become one of the executives. It does not take time. If you can solve the problem, you will rise to the top. All the days of my appointed time, I will wait. But while I wait, I will sharpen the knife. I will pray in tongues. While I wait, I will keep studying the word. I know I'm going to stand before kings. I must have contents to give them. I won't talk like I'm talking before weak men. I will stand before presidents. A day will come. It will be a privilege to air Koinonia. A day will come. We will not just have 1 or 2 TV stations. There will be many. 1 billionaire can sponsor it for years. But while that time comes, we will pray. We will fast. We will travel. Let them call you a fool because there's no car. What is car? See, a man came to Mike Murdoch because of something that he did. He was begging Mike Murdoch to buy a car for him. Mike Murdoch said, I don't need it. He said, I entered a covenant with God that every year till you die, I'll be buying you the latest Benz car. One day I was passing around Abuja and I saw all the mighty houses they were building around my tama. And the Holy Ghost told me, do you know how many of your houses are here? No, I'm serious. God told me, he said, you will only build in life just for the formality, the gift of a man. The owner of that building will need me one day. Darkness is a mystery that announces light. The world will be too dark. One day, they will need the anointing. They will need it. I'm telling you, many of you have not been respecting what you carry. I know what I carry. I know what I carry. It's an anointing of the Spirit. The nations can never, they can never deny the effect. They may not like me, but there is an anointing. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, I'm fasting, I may be lean, I may soak garri, but there is an anointing. My father could not enter, but there is an anointing. There is wisdom. There is the gift of God. And I will increase your greatness and comfort you on every side. There is a price to pay. I don't blame anybody for where I am. I take responsibility. Stop insulting people for where you are. Take responsibility. I fear the Lord. I have faith in him. I'm a tither. I'm sure that I have favor with God. That means arranging the seasons is a done deal. What is left now is to sharpen my ability. Higher. I may not speak the kind of English you want, but when I say it, an anointing will leave. You can deny my English, but you cannot deny the anointing. There is something. See, this is what I'm training you to become. There is a sharpening. You may not see it now. The world will need you. You will collect a salary of maybe 100,000, but your boss will sow a seed of 5 million to get out of trouble.
can. Your ability, listen, we're soon going to pray. Your ability to maximize the moment opens you up to untold realms of greatness. Look at me. Aaron is here. Let me share with you his testimony. Permit me, Aaron, a bit. For years, many of you know how skilled Aaron is. For years, the kind of job he was trusting God for would not come. I know times when things would get a bit painful for him. And we kept encouraging. He will be listening to the word of God. But time and chance, a season just came, brothers and sisters. Supernaturally, he got a job. Two, he got connected with the deputy governor of Kaduna State. Within how many months, Aaron? Within 2 months, they moved him to go and head a unit in Jos. Now he heads a unit in Jos, and we're only counting. See, I think there's one of our ladies here. Two of our ladies that I know, the moment they graduated, they've not even served. They just called them to get jobs. You may not value what you are receiving. Don't let anybody fool you and make you think you are wasting your time. A day will come. The price you are paying now is what your colleagues will be paying in the future. You are already paying it now. You may look like a fool. Some of you, as you are going back home now, they will insult you and say, we are not seeing the fruit. It does not yet appear. But time and chance will reveal that I'm not praying in tongues for nothing. Hallelujah. This year, let me give you the last story and then we'll pray. This year, I was in Ibadan. We all went to Ibadan. And when we went, they lodged us in one of the best hotels there. And it was Yerima, Victor, and Sam. They sent me a text in the afternoon. They said, we're swimming and we're enjoying. And then I looked through my window. They were playing table tennis. They were swimming. You know, they were enjoying themselves. All snapping and enjoying. And I looked. And then I remembered a story. That same hotel, listen. In 2007, I went to that same hotel for something, but I could not pay for any room because it was very expensive. Listen to me. I still had the anointing, but time and season had not come. I went there. I still saw the arrangement. I sat down there. There's the reception there. Brothers and sisters, I was looking for a place around that vicinity where they were doing night vigil. It was a Friday night. So I will attend the night vigil because I had no money. If I touch anything, I will not have my transport back. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That same hotel. Somebody would have looked at me and said, oh, what failure. Hiya. Mistake. Big mistake. You don't need to respond to those who think you are failures because you went to the board and you saw 5 carryovers and the devil says, see, tell him, no, you see. Just keep watching. Time, time, time. Yes, you may have an extra year. Write it and move. And thank God, because in that extra year, you are still moving ahead. See, if a plane is moving forward, even if you go back to the restroom, you are still moving forward because the plane carrying you is moving forward. I stayed that night till morning. No bathing, no nothing. And a few years later, there is a protocol of people together with the wife of the police commissioner of the state. We came and we sat with this woman. We are still going back. I think sometime towards the year. We are still going back to our place again. This woman was astonished. The things that God did in Ibadan was amazing. The woman followed us to our hotel room and we kept talking till almost, I think, to 12 or past 12. And she said she must show her husband. Her husband is one of the top police people. Praise God. And they recorded everything, me prophesying and praying for her. And she said she must meet her husband. And she just brought out a check, I think a check of 30,000 or something. She said, sorry, you man of God, this is small. But can you take this? I said, oh Lord, time and chance. It's not like I prayed more. I just kept doing what I was doing. When your season comes, the same thing you did that did not produce result will now produce amazing result. There are miracles that happen in Koinonia here that if we were on air, people will already start traveling. But time and chance, don't worry, a day will come. Stop trying to announce yourself. There are many people on air getting millions of naira. They don't have up to half of Sam's anointing. Continue what you are doing. Time and chance. A day will come. God will arrange your destiny helpers in front. Then they will give you 10 minutes to lead prayers. That's the day God will announce you. In 10 minutes, what the Spirit of God will do, you will have more than 20 invitations. Come for our conference. Come for this. You are reading business books. You are preparing yourself. It looks like you're a fool. There's nothing working. No office. Only knowledge. People even call you big head. Don't worry. A day will come. Unto none of the widows was Elijah. How did he put it now? Was the prophet sent? Except that widow of Zarephath. But the question God is asking you tonight before we pray. When the season comes, when the season comes, are you sharpened enough to make that your last season in that realm? Will you make the words of your critics become a self-fulfilling prophecy, or will you contend? They may be seeing the brother and sister praying and they say, hey, you could know what you are doing. Don't worry, you don't need to answer anybody, just keep praying. Seasons. A day came, we were doing this same thing, but it was at the back of chapel. No Facebook to capture the picture and show the world that there is the hand of God upon these people. But a day will come. So I stopped focusing about cars, nonsense, house. No, leave all those things from today. I'm teaching you, when you sit with friends and they say, oh boy, where now? Where will our level change? Just know that they are wasting your time. Time and chance. It never announces to you that the day is coming. You will just sleep in the prison one night, and by the second night, you are in a palace you cannot account for. What brought me here? Oh, I believe it for somebody. I believe it for somebody. Let me bring a word for somebody. You may be going through certain things. You are killing the lion in the secret, nobody knows. You are killing the bear, nobody knows. A day will come. God will put you in front of Goliath, and it will be in the presence of all Israel. On that day, Saul will know that there is a David. Some of you have anointings today that if it's to be revealed, the world will run away. Don't look for premature manifestation. Let me tell you, service is the best way to train yourself and sharpen yourself. You see, all these things people say, I won't play keyboard till they pay me. You are being foolish. You can serve now and they give you prayers and you make blunders. At least the mistake was made in Jerusalem before you now get to Judea and Samaria and make blunders there. Make the mistake here. Sing and go off key here. We will laugh at you alone and we'll tap your back. There are mistakes that great men don't make in the open. No, make it here. Make it here. Sharpen that knife. Who is God speaking to tonight? Because I sense in my spirit that we are at the edge. I cannot tell you. Trust me, I'm not speaking nonsense. I know it in my spirit. I've been telling you this for days. I have been fasting and preparing for these seasons. I have picked the signal that believers in this side of God's kingdom, there is a dimension of, there is a shofar that will blow in this season. And let me tell you, warriors will arise. This, I call it the Zaria experience. We will reproduce this thing in this country. Many people do not know what God is doing in this side of the kingdom. You just finish your school, wear your convocation gown, or sit back. A day will come, God will say, your season in Zaria is over. It's time to move. Like arrows in a man's quiver, he will send you. You will wreak havoc across the seven mountains. That day will come. Pay the price now. Forget the name. You don't need to be called an apostle or pastor or prophet. It's irrelevant. Settle down. Hallelujah. That's why, see, listen, let me tell you one secret about my life. I shared it with the school of ministry students. You never see me in broad daylight just roaming around foolishly. No. If you see me around, there was something to do. You never, that you are walking on the street, you just see me jumping around and say, corn or maize, which one is hot? No. I'm preparing for such an extraordinary life. I want my life to match the visions that I've seen in the spirit. Call me apostle. Thank God for the healings. I won't be deceived. I want to carry the word of the Lord with such a razor sharp accuracy. So I will stay in the presence. I will fast. I will pray. Let me be lean today, no problem. It doesn't kill. It doesn't kill. Prayer doesn't kill. Don't be a fool. The suffering of the future is what kills. The price today doesn't kill. There's no job. Instead of praying and lamenting, be preparing and say, I know a job will come. The day they do that interview, they won't just give me a job, they will promote me at once, because they will say, where have you been? Rise up on your feet. My spirit is fired up. Please jump up on your feet. I'd like you to begin to blast in tongues. Instrumentalists, come up. Everybody, come on. From the depth of your spirit. Do it for your future. Time and chance happens to you. A day will come. Your season of appearing. Your season of appearing. Reketo pokotepa. Don't be tired. Don't be tired. Man of God, don't be tired. Woman of God, don't be tired. Prophet of God, don't be tired. Apostle of God, don't be tired. Keep pressing. Sharpen the anointing. Sharpen the skill. Sharpen the gift. My season of appearing is coming. They may victimize me today, but time and chance, time and chance, time and chance. Hallelujah. 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 The next prayer point. I'd like you to pray and say, Lord, I receive the capacity to build. Listen. If you can't, just pair yourselves into two. Find a brother or sister that is ready to pray. And say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I receive grace to build, to sharpen that ability. As I wait for that day, come on, pray, Koinonia. The day will come. The day will come. The day will come.
Prepare for the seasons. Prepare for the opportunities. They will come. They will come. They will come. They will come. Prepare for it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And thou will increase my grace and comfort me on every side. Listen. The third prayer point. You're going to attack every spirit, listen, of premature manifestation and distraction. Many of us want to be known. It's not fair. I'm anointed. Give me prayers to pray. I'm anointed. Put me on the stage. Nonsense. Stephen remained here serving tables, but the anointing was too much for tables. You're going to pray. Listen, there are many of us. You cannot delay gratification. You want to buy the shoe now. You want to buy everything now. You see people standing and you say, I must buy this kind of shoe. I must buy this kind of watch. Oh, glory. The word is working. You better keep quiet and pray. Prepare for the season. Read the books. Read books on fatherhood. Read books on leadership. Read books on ministry. Sharpen yourself. When you are tired and it's 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock, time to pray. When you are tired, remember your destiny. Drag yourself up. I'm tired. It's true that I'm tired, but lekete rekotopokata, for the sake of my destiny.
Si pekete ke paraka bata, pekete ke bosa kabakata, I parato panda kabokosa, sekete ke paraka bata, rekete paraka bata, I parato
panda. I do it to correct the errors of the fathers. I do it to correct the limitations of my family.
Ni parakata pekete.
Hallelujah. 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 Listen. Anytime you see a nice Jeep, go and get a book and read. That's how to claim it. After you speak and say in the name of Jesus, but prepare, knowing that there is something you can have that will bring it to you. A day will come when God permits us and we start translating Koinonia messages to books. I tell you, some of them will be bestsellers. But until that time comes, let's keep preaching the cutting edge messages. Hallelujah. Two more prayer points and we're done. Listen.
Immediately we play these two prayer points. There are people here who need to surrender totally to Jesus. The moment we pray those two prayer points, as we round up the last one, I just want you to come out here quickly, because this is serious business. I don't need to cajole you. You need to surrender your heart, that you want to say, Lord, truly everything. So make sure when that time comes, we're going to pray. We're going to pray this prayer point. Hallelujah. And you're going to say, Lord, all the resources, all the materials, all the components I need to expose myself to in preparation for that season, bring them to me. In the name of Jesus, lift your voice and pray. All the trainings, all the books, all the papers, all the catering schools, all the fashion schools, all the business schools, all the business schools, all the ministry training, all the degrees you need to get, all the qualifications, all the leadership traits that you need for this new season that is coming. Receive grace. Pay the price. Find the truth.
Hallelujah.
So, sister, rather than praying and say, there's no husband, why don't you sharpen yourself and say, the man that talks to me will know he spoke to a treasure. When you are going around doing all kinds of nonsense, there's no man coming. This Koinonia brother said they are not seeing. Why don't you sharpen yourself? Brothers, rather than sitting down, all these ladies don't like me. Are you serious? What are you doing for your future? Show me the investments you are making to be an extraordinary man. Last prayer point. Lord Jesus, hold my hands in this destiny and take me until I become great. Lift your voice and pray. Hold my hands. Hold my hands through the rain, through the storm. Lord, as I want to give up, encourage me. When the pressure gets too much, let me hear the voice of the Spirit. Hold my hands, the hand of Zerubbabel that began this work. That same hand, that same hand. Hold my hands. Hold my hands. When I'm almost giving up, hold my hands. When I'm almost falling, hold my hands. When it looks like the world, hold my hands. When I'm about to give up on destiny, hold my hands. When the husband is not coming, hold my hands. When the job is not coming, hold my hands. When the miracle seems to be delayed, hold my hands.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You can choose to remain at the level you are forever by giving excuses, or you can take the hand of God and say, Lord, I'm on your side. I don't care what men say. Let them criticize me, I'll still be moving. I don't care where. They may misunderstand me. Why are you always praying in tongues like a fool? No problem. Is it only books you will keep reading? Don't you visit friends? No problem. When the season of appearing comes, the brothers of Joseph that looked down on him, they were the ones who now came. Joseph said, I saw the sun, I saw the moon, I saw 11 stars bowing to me. Those who criticize you, they will bow. It's only a matter of time. Hallelujah. I bring a word of hope to somebody. The issue in your life right now does not come to kill you. It is the making of great men. There is no money in your pocket. Some of you have been preached to think that it's because you don't have faith. It's because you have faith. Every time you pray for the throne, a Goliath comes. When you see a Goliath, don't cry, start smiling. That's a sign that a new season is before you. The presence of an enemy always ends your current season and opens up a new season for you. If there are no enemies in your life, I'm afraid of you. May your life not be so ordinary that your enemies ignore you. You will remember this day. A day will come when you look at these pictures today, tears will roll from your eyes, because you will see that in a short time God has glorified himself in your life, and you will be wondering, was it this easy? And I was almost missing it. The songwriter says, I was right at the edge of the breakthrough. Can I tell you something? I sense in my spirit that the clock is getting close to someone's life. I mean it from the depths of my heart. As a house, I know that we're about entering a season. I've been announcing this for months. God will not do anything in this house and not reveal it to me. I'm like a pregnant woman. That's why I stay in the secret, like the wise men looking at the stars, trying to understand, what are you saying? Because a season will be better, and we will only see and wonder and say, Lord, was it this fast? Hallelujah. We'll take one more prayer point, but let's allow those who are saying, Lord, I'm not going to lie to myself tonight. I need you in my life. Please, I want you to rush out here quickly. Do it from the depths of your heart. Whether you are outside or inside, please, welcome. You are welcome. This is for the sake of your destiny. Mean it from the depths of your heart. Enough is enough. Run to Jesus. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Nobody is closing his eyes. You don't close your eyes when they are giving you a gift. There are still people outside. Jesus is talking to you and saying, this is why I brought you for this meeting. You wanted to come, but the devil kept stopping you. But tonight is your night. You can go back. Nobody will talk to you, but you are the one who knows that your destiny needs to change. Don't let the proclamations of your enemies be a self-fulfilling prophecy. Run to Jesus, young and old. Those of us standing, stretch your hands towards them and begin to pray. Those in front, talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Some of you are crying. Don't be ashamed of your tears. Say, Lord, I mean business with you. I'm not being emotional because of a message. I have seen that my destiny is in my hands. I make up my mind. I congratulate those of you in front. No man condemns you. Condemnation does not come from God. He convicts you like he has done. I don't care what you have done. I don't care where you are. Jesus is about to give you a new beginning. We believe in you and we believe in your destiny. Every one of us had to make this decision. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Make it a genuine decision. Now lift your right hand and say after me from the depth of your heart. Say after me, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I confess that you are my Savior and you are my Lord. Today, I receive eternal life into my spirit. I declare that I'm a child of God. Satan, stay out of my life. Jesus, I acknowledge you as the Lord of my life. Let the peace of God flood into my heart right now. I denounce sin. I denounce Satan. From today, my life begins to move upward only. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now let me pray for you. Jesus, these ones have come because they love you. We salute their courage, and as a family of faith, we receive them with gladness. And Lord, I know that among these ones, there are apostles and prophets and businessmen and leaders and world changers. Lord, I pray that in this season, you begin to lead them through dealings. Begin to bring them to the knowledge of the principles of the kingdom. Holy Spirit, you are our master mentor. We commend these ones to your life. Let them experience it truly. The Zoe life, that God life. In the name of Jesus Christ, we bless you with the blessings of heaven. Everything that you came here with that is not of God drops here tonight and never returns with you. In the name of Jesus, you will be transformed and changed for real. And you will never, I break associations that are ungodly, that keep you in sin and iniquity. I pray in the name of Jesus that your change and transformation will be genuine. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Koinonia, celebrate them. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Hallelujah. Now listen, just do something for me very quickly. I'd like you to follow the gentleman waving his hands. We'll have your details. We'll be praying for you. And then we'll have a word with you. God bless you. Celebrate them, Koinonia. Hallelujah. Please keep standing. Just give me a few minutes. And then we'll release the blessings on you. Hallelujah. Please use this week. Hallelujah. Jordan's bookstore is there. I want you to settle down on books and materials this week. Hallelujah. This week, from now till next week, Friday, don't be distracted. I know that many of us are free. Some of us who are working, when you come back from your office, just quietly settle down. Please get materials. Some of us is gluttony that will kill away our destiny. You just eat and sleep and snore around. The Bible says a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the eyes, and poverty will come upon you like an armed bandit. Go and get books, get tapes. Media is here. Immediately after Koinonia, you can meet them. Get as many Koinonia messages. We have preached messages across different areas. Is it marriage? Is it ministry? Get this Koinonia teaching. Settle down. Close yourself, even if it's for 2 hours. Hallelujah. Try to sleep well in the night. Once it's 12 or 1 o'clock, find a place. Don't disturb people, please. Don't disturb your neighbors because you are getting spiritual. Find a place and pray. Even if it's for 30 minutes, don't say you must pray for 5 hours. Pray in tongues. Write your persuasions. Those of you who have access to internet, go on YouTube. Download or listen to quality messages. Minimize watching movies. The television is good, but it can be a disadvantage sometimes. That's why those who watch it too much never appear there. Hallelujah. There are those who make news. There are those who watch the news. Hallelujah. Make up your mind. Use this week. Flog it out with destiny. Some of you need to break ungodly associations. You love God, but you have too many friends. And many of them are not godly. When you want to bless God, some ladies will just come, right, sister, and suggest all kinds of nonsense. Association is not compulsory. Are you getting my point? If there are friends that are leading you, they bring all kinds of poisonous movies. They come with wrong communication, evil communication. Mention all kinds of words that should not be heard among believers. You don't need to criticize them. But I tell you, friends that will not take you far. Abraham took Lot with him. It was because of Lot he almost missed out. You need to create a protocol around your life. Don't let anybody hop in and out of your life anyhow, because you are going somewhere. They may not understand it now. Stop running to uncles and aunties, being a nuisance to people's houses. Please give me money. You now lie to this person. My school fees is 30,000. Oh, uncle, give me the job. Auntie, give me this. No. Settle down with the word, and they are the ones who will be celebrating you tomorrow. Hallelujah. Very quickly before we leave, if tonight is your first time worshiping with us here in Koinonia, while I take the announcements, please listen to the announcements. They are very important. I'd like you to find your way to the front. If this is your first time, please don't sit back. We have a prayer, a blessing, and a prophecy. Summon the courage to come out. We love you. We love you. Thank you, mommy. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Please don't sit back. I know there are a number of people outside. If you came with anybody and is sitting back, tell him, come. Come and receive the blessing. Come and receive a prophetic word. Hallelujah. Wow. This is Nasi's mother. Nas, the technical mommy. God bless you. Am I right? Bless you, ma. Please celebrate her. Come on, no. Hallelujah. Thank you, mommy. God bless you. We celebrate you. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. I bless every one of you. Thank you so much for coming. This is Koinonia. We love you from the depth of our heart, and I mean this truly, genuinely, and we care about your destiny in Christ. I want to assure you, it doesn't matter what level you are right now. If you stay with the word of God, it's only a matter of time. It will make you a sign and a wonder. The Bible says, I commend you to the word of his grace. Please listen to me. He said it is able to make you wise and to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. The difference between where you are right now and where God wants you to be is revelation and obedience. And if you cooperate with the Holy Spirit, he will do wonders through your life. We want to pray for you and bless you. We are a blessed people. When we bless you, you are truly blessed. Stretch your hands, saints of God. You are anointed. Rehearse the way you are going to be speaking over nations. Pray. The same way you will stretch your hands over kings and territories. I'd like you to bless these ones. You have been trained to bless. You have been anointed to bless. We bless you with the blessings of the heavens. We bless you with hunger for spiritual things. We bless you with a heart for God. We bless you with a passion for the things of God above and every other desire you've ever had. Above and beyond, may God give it to you. Every challenge you came here with, we declare in the name of Jesus that it leaves you right now. Be it sickness, whatever it is, may you know that you met a living God in this place. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, we honor you, we celebrate you, and we love you deeply. I'll just ask you to do one thing right now. Please just follow the brother waving his hands. We'll have your information, and we're going to send you an SMS, and they'll talk to you again. We truly honor your coming. We don't take it for granted. May